Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, May 28th, 2016, and this is show number 50.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad, and tonight I want to talk about a subject near and dear to my heart. I've entitled it Truth or Consequences. And the reason for that is because the Bible speaks in reference to truth that there are eternal consequences to how we respond to it, to how we react to it. And I've brought in a very special guest to join us tonight. I want to introduce to you Dr. Kim Bloomer. She is an animal naturopath. In fact, she's the co-founder and president of the American Council of Animal Naturopathy. And in fact, she started a brand new radio program on Blog Talk Radio recently entitled A New Day with Dr. Kim. And so we've got the next hour with Dr. Kim. A welcome to you, Dr. Kim.
Yay. Thank you, Pastor Brad. What a fun time to be here with you today. And my hope is we bring glory to God.
Amen. That is what this program is all about. And so we're going to talk about truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth tonight. I know you're fond of quotes, and so I'm guessing you maybe have a couple that can get us started. So I'll serve that ball to you. What do you got for us?
Well, one that comes to mind right away, because I'm one of those people that always hold fast to a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So I like Mark Twain. He kind of told things like it was, and I loved reading his books as a child. So he said that if you tell the truth, then you don't have to remember anything. And
very true.
Another,
that is true.
It's true, right? You know, and that's good for me. So I can just keep going about my life, you know, and just tell the truth. The other one is one that I often share, and it is an African proverb that says, "A lie has many variations, the truth none."
Would you say that one more time for me, please? I think I want to elaborate on that.
Yes. A lie has many variations, the truth none.
Okay. That's a great place for us to start, because I think to get us started, I want to lay a biblical foundation, because I believe with all my heart that the single greatest question that any of us are ever going to ask and answer for ourselves is, what do we believe about the Bible? Because there are a lot of religious books that have claimed supernatural inspiration, but very easily disproven, but not so with the Bible. So a couple of things that the Bible says about itself. Psalm 31:5, for example, tells us that the God of the Bible is a God of truth. John 14:6 is fairly familiar to many, where Jesus claims, he says, "I am the truth," among other things. As such, as a God who claims to be the God of truth, it follows to reason that what Titus 1:2 and Hebrews 6:18 say, God is not a man that he should lie. Since God is a God of truth, the Bible tells us that he cannot lie. And so the Bible, claiming to be his word, Psalm 119:160, the sum of thy word is truth. John 17:17, the testimony of God's word is truth. In fact, Daniel 10:21 says of the Bible that it is the book of truth. And Dr. Kim, I'm going to serve the ball back to you with what the Bible says about truth in reference to John 8:38. It says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall cause you to be free." And I know as a doctor, you're so committed to freedom in people, and I know you have such a burden and a passion when people get caught up in deception. I'm just curious, talk a little bit about your passion for truth, what it means to you, why you're so committed to it. I know that when we talked a while back, and we thought, hey, let's do a program together. You were just as excited as I was. Talk to us a little bit about that excitement.
It's kind of interesting because you know that I had another show with my business partner for many years on animal health, and one of our listeners and longtime friends has said, started calling us Truth Prophets, and it's because we often would share quotes because there's so much, to put it in a very politically correct way, which I'm not very fond of doing, is that there is so much people in my field of work, they only hold fast to what they want to believe and
right.
not based upon the facts. And so often I will say, I'm not here to convince you of anything. I'm simply here to share the facts. And the facts will speak for themselves, and the truth speaks for itself. And, you know, you said a quote, Pastor Brad, and I'm always thinking about this one. In fact, I actually have this one on my website about, then you will know the truth and the truth will set or will make you free. But
yeah.
Jesus qualified that, didn't he? He said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my
right.
disciples, and then you will know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. Jesus always qualified it. He would say, if you love me, you will obey me. You know, and I hear the part about love all the time, but I don't hear the obedience part coming up. So there was a quote. There I go again with the quote thing.
Sure.
And often what I will say to people about this belief situation is, and I will bring this up, and you know, I actually wrote about this recently in regards to animals and animal health, and I always know when I hit a nerve because several people unsubbed from our newsletter when I wrote this.
They unsubscribe from your
that.
Newsletter.
Yeah, they unsubscribe because they can't handle the truth. And it's very odd that they would say, you know, the word tolerance comes into play with that oftentimes, and I'm like, but see, tolerance isn't about truth at all. They're misunderstanding
right.
tolerance. As a matter of fact, there is actually a quote I'll preface before, and it was Aristotle who said this, that tolerance and apathy are the last virtues of a dying society.
Wow,
and
let's hold on there. Tolerance
okay.
and apathy.
Yeah,
that was deep. That was deep. I want to make sure I get it, along with our listeners. Tolerance and
okay,
apathy.
So let me make sure I have this one again, because I think I just deleted
yeah,
it by accident, but it's okay. I can find it again really simply.
That's okay.
You.
I think I got it. Tolerance. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we were talking about cognitive dissonance. This is something
yeah.
I have written about and talk about. Because people hold to a belief in, believe it or not, it's with anything. People say with animals, oh, you get to work with animals. No, I'm working with people. And people
yeah.
want to hold on to, you know, so-and-so authority said, the only authority for me, truly, in this world nowadays, is God himself and always has been, but really more so than anything because we're being shot at with lies in every variation, way, and form all around us. So I will
yeah.
say this back. Sometimes people hold a core belief that's very strong. And when they are presented with evidence, you know, like evidence that demands a verdict, that works against
yep.
that belief, then the new evidence cannot be accepted. It's not really new evidence. It's age-old evidence. It's timeless evidence. It would create a feeling that is extremely uncomfortable called cognitive dissonance. And because it's so important to protect the core belief, they will rationalize, ignore, and even deny anything that doesn't fit in with the core belief. Franz Fanon said that.
Okay.
And so let me go back to this one that we were talking about with
yeah.
Aristotle. It was okay. So give to me what you've got so far, and I can find it because I've got so many in here on truth.
Yeah. I think it was so profound to me. I think I may have caught most of it. Tolerance and apathy are the last virtues of a dying society, I believe
yeah,
is what you said.
That's it. Yeah, boy, you caught that really well.
Yeah, well, it impacted me significantly. Tolerance, meaning tolerating that which is not true, and apathy, not caring enough about people to do so.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite of biblically defined truth. One of the things that really bothers me you mentioned God's promises are generally have a qualifier, and that is they are conditional. And yet so many of today's false prophets and false teachers share God's promises as if they were without condition. They go ahead and say the promise, which tickles the ears, make people feel good, but the reality is those promises only apply to those who are willing to fulfill the conditions. How about Romans 8:28? And God will work all things together for good, not for everybody. God doesn't work all things together for everybody. He works them together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, just as an example. So very, very true.
And the qualifier for loving God
is
what? The qualifier for loving God is to obey him.
Yeah. Dear listeners, that's what the Bible says. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. And this is love, 2 John 6, that you walk according to my commandments. So when the false teachers out there and false preachers say, man, it's all about love, well, if they're talking about the love as defined by Jesus, then yes, that's right, it is all about love. But they're stereotypically talking about something wildly different, something wildly diluted, and that's, I think, where both of us, Dr. Kim, are so passionate about it, because we care about people, right?
Yes, and I didn't used to think I did. I thought I only cared about animals, but it was because I'm, as my mother said, and I never believed her, as I've gotten older, I believe her more and more, that I was overly sensitive as a child, overly hurt by words, and we realize now how impactful, science and quantum physics has caught up to the Bible and understanding how impactful and hurtful words are. And so I really believe, I believe that. I was reading scripture this morning, and I was really struck by it in regards to what we're talking about now. And it was in Revelation, because people are always saying, well, the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. We're under grace. We can do whatever the heck we want. And we can, we don't have to, Jesus said the only two commandments we have to obey are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, strength, soul, and to love our neighbor as ourself. But when you look at that, all of the Ten Commandments are encompassed within love the Lord your God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I was looking at this.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at this in, I think it's Revelation 2, where I was looking, and in here, Jesus is admonishing the different churches, as you know. And he was talking to them about obedience. And it was in 2, I'm trying to find exactly where it was. He's talking about us overcoming. And he says right here, okay, for those of you who are under grace only, he says here, and I have to say this, Pastor Brad, I'm sorry, but this comes up so often that I just, like, want to, facepalm all the time. He says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. This is in the King James, and it's Revelation 2:26.
Yeah, the reality of Scripture is if God is the God of truth, and if indeed then his word is truth, and he cannot lie, so everything we read in Scripture is true, then when the Bible says, when God says, I the Lord do not change, in Malachi 3:6-7, and when Jesus Christ says of himself in Hebrews 13:8, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever,
and tomorrow.
Then that lets us know that any teaching that would change the God of the Old Testament from the God of the New Testament, that has to be what the New Testament calls a demonic doctrine. When we are
right
reading
here in
about
Revelation,
God,
in fact, they really want to read, and that's in the New Testament. He also says, repent or else. Now, he says repent, and we always are so, we're under grace. So whatever we do, God sees us only through the lens of Jesus-colored glasses. And yet Jesus is admonishing us to repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now I know why I was so sensitive to words.
Absolutely.
God spoke this into existence. Who do we think we are anyway? What hubris.
Yeah. Let me, I had prepared a quote from J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God, because I think it's a good segue from what you're mentioning there in Revelation. In his chapter entitled, appropriately enough for us, Thy Word is Truth, he said the following. He said, we are familiar with the thought that our bodies are like machines needing the right routine of food, rest, and exercise if they're to run efficiently. What we are perhaps slower to grasp is that God wishes us to think of our souls in a similar way. As rational persons, we were made to bear God's moral image. That is, our souls were made to run on the practice of things like worship, law-keeping, truthfulness, honesty, discipline, self-control, and service to God and our fellow man. But if we abandon these practices, not only do we incur guilt before God, we also progressively destroy our own souls. And you know, Dr. Kim, my heart, that one of the most, or rather the single most horrifying verse in the whole Bible for me is Matthew 7:21, where Jesus said, not everybody who says to him, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And in fact, the entire God Dots ministry, God Dots Global, exists to evangelize the church in the age of delusion. And I want to read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, because it's really encompassing what you just spoke about and where I know both of our hearts are. This is the word of God. And it says, with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So that's important right there, right? You have to receive the love of the truth to be saved. For this reason, for what reason? People not receiving the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. The Greek language there is actually an activity of error. And I like the way the King James calls it, a strong delusion. So because of people not receiving the love of the truth, because people reject the truth, God sends upon the earth a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. And this whole concept, going back to what was it, Aristotle? Tolerance.
Yes.
Tolerance is a rejection of truth as absolute, right? And this lack of care for people that won't say anything. And that's where my passion gets bridled, or unbridled, I should say.
Same here.
When people don't care enough about each other to speak the truth in love. You are a doctor. To care about someone's beloved pet, if they have cancer, it would be uncaring and hateful to withhold that information, wouldn't it? You don't like the information, but because you care, you share it in the hopes that that something can be done about it, right?
As a matter of fact, here is even something stronger. Not only can something be done about it, but the solution has always been there. We've been lied to about that as well. So there's always been a solution. God provide. In fact, there. Cancer came about as our rejection of the truth.
Wow, elaborate on that.
I could really go into that, but yes. Because we're believing in and trusting in sorcery rather than in the way God made our bodies. I was studying today about some things that I'm learning, and again, faith-based, and didn't know, but I have wonderful friends that are in the same page, you know, Christians that hearts are opening up to the real truth of how God fearfully and wonderfully created us. And he created our immune systems and our bodies to already work. When we follow his laws of health, again, following his laws, you will be healthy if this, you know, and you know from Scripture there's, from understanding the Hebrew and the Greek, there's different words, therapeo, I think I'm saying it correctly, therapeo, and also then the other one was instant healing. I never remember how to pronounce that one.
Yeah.
But
now
God,
you said that you were putting our trust in sorcery. What do you mean by that? I want to make sure the listeners track with us there.
Okay, so pharmakia. And
okay, pharmakia.
Mhm.
From where we get the word pharmacy. Yeah.
Pharmacy.
Go ahead. Go.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there is a if I can find it here really quickly. I have quotes and things I save everywhere so that I can call upon them. Of course, this isn't one I thought I was – you never know what God's going to bring up when we're having a discussion. So hopefully I can just do this off the top of my head. I don't know if you know how to describe it, but that was the root – it was the Greek word root, pharmakeis, that was taken to describe sorcery or witchcraft and so forth. So that is where the root word for pharmaceutical came from. And I had a veterinarian years ago who came on our show who was also a believer, and he was the one who opened my eyes to this. And he said, even though I knew that's how, that was my strong feeling, knowing that these are synthetic drugs not derived from nature, so that they could be reproduced and patented and sold and then have diseases, name, label, I call them labels, not diseases, labels attached to the drugs so that they could sell the drugs. And so they come up with these diagnoses that benefits them and so forth. And then the doctors are taught by these very pharmaceutical companies in school. And they are taught literally only 4 hours, 4 physical hours of nutrition. And all they're taught about is enzymes and vitamins. They're not taught how the body works together in a whole, interdependently as a whole in synergy. So the lie is that, and the way this veterinarian taught it was, it's magic, that pharmakeia is magic. Mm. And he said, uh-oh, it's magic, now you feel it, now you don't. So it's based on masking the symptoms that God gave us as an alert system. It's kind of like your fire department or your police sirens going off to warn you that something's out of balance, hence the word dis-ease, the body is not at ease, so that you can do something about it. So cancer came about as a result of us ignoring all of that and thinking we can patent and increase or do better than what God did with the immune system. We've done that with every facet that God has given us, from the air to the ground to the food, everything we think we can improve upon, or we've been taught to believe we can improve upon what God already created perfectly for us and for our environment, you know, the earth being so certain distance from the sun and so forth, and yet we pay attention to what we're taught, never realizing that the doctors themselves are not really taught, they're indoctrinated, so that they can perpetuate that so that certain factions and corporations benefit. And people would say, oh, she's one of those people. No, I used to be a vet tech, so I've worked both sides of the fence. And that training has come in handy to understand, be able to, you know, to do the deductive so forth that you need to do in order to work to get to the cause. The problem is we've forgotten to get to the cause. We only address the symptoms nowadays. So, again, that's true in our society. This is why truth has become to people relative, because we're addressing symptoms and we're ignoring ethics at the same time. And when you,
let me pause this, Dr. Kim. Well, I want to speak to the listeners here for a minute, and I want to remind you that the Bible says, dear listener, that you should be like the Bereans when you hear this show. You should receive the word with eagerness, but then do the research yourself to see if these things are true. Because what we're saying here is either true or it's not true, but how will you know? I want to make sure that you understand a couple of things, dear listener, before we continue. And Dr. Kim mentioned that people move in the direction of talking about truth as that which is relative. And I want to pause there for a minute, and let's think that through, because I want to suggest to you strongly that statements like truth is relative, I want to speak the truth in love, but I want to say that's one of the most ignorant things anyone could ever say. Let's flesh this out. How about the statement, there is no truth? Well, the statement, there is no truth, what? Except the statement that you just made? It's self-defeating. Right?
Exactly.
How about, we've heard, I don't think that truth can be known. Well, you just made a statement of truth. So you see the self-defeating nature of these relativistic comments. A truth doesn't exist. What, except for that truth that you just stated. If everything is relative, then the statement itself is relative. And most significantly, when someone says there is no absolute truth, they're making an absolute truth statement. And
right.
So it's really, right, and I want to suggest to you, those of you that are listening to Dr. Kim, the Bible tells us, you see, this is a Bible-based program. This is a program based on the belief that the Bible is the truth of God. And do you know what the truth of God says, dear listener? It says, Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather instead even expose them. And that's what Dr. Kim is doing in her field of expertise. The Bible, far from tolerating and saying, let's just live and let live, the Bible teaches the opposite. A response to truth, as we've talked about, is going to make or break you, both in this life and in the life to come. There's a quote that I found, Dr. Kim, from John MacArthur in his great book, The Truth War, Fighting for Certainty in an Age.
No, it wasn't John MacArthur. I was thinking of another pastor's book, Think. Big letters, Think. Can't think of his name right
now,
but.
Right. That's what we're challenging our listeners to do tonight, is to think. MacArthur said, but Christians of all people ought to be most willing to live and die for the truth. Remember, we know the truth, and the truth has set us free. We should not be ashamed to say so boldly. And if called upon to sacrifice for the truth's sake, we need to be willing and prepared to give our lives just as Jesus did. Why? Because we care about people. If you care enough about people and you see them going in a direction that's going to hurt them, you're going to do everything you can to keep them from that harm, and that's what we're doing tonight. I just wanted to insert that there, Dr. Kim. Didn't want to interrupt you, but let me serve it back to you there.
You know, I have been thinking about I think about this all the time, and
yeah.
As I was going back to what we were talking about, what's taught in schools, and that's where the first lies are always disseminated to everybody. And that, you know, and it was funny because I remember growing up, and I was one of those kind of children. I was taught by parents who were avid readers, and my father was one of those who would say, "Dad, what does this mean, or what does that mean? Go look it up, and then give it back to me in a sentence, so you understand the context." And so I was brought up to think it through, research it, and then show that I knew and understood what it was saying, not just to accept it blindly, because anybody can memorize the dots,
right.
But can you connect them? And so that's where we've lost critical thinking. So way back, Plato said, strange times are these in which we live, when old and young are taught falsehoods in school, and the person that dares to tell the truth is called at once a lunatic in full. And
that's profound.
Again, these aren't people that obviously followed, followed the Lord, but they knew they had critical thinking happening, and I think that's partly what we're being told to believe, that we're just going to believe it because it's easy and it's comfortable and I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, well, you
but
know,
the Lord didn't tell
you
us
don't
that.
Right, you don't have to be a Christian to come into contact with truth. You'll find truth everywhere. Wherever you find
right.
truth, that's going to lead you back to God, because God is the creator of all things that are true.
And
you know, there's another
it's because people, I don't know who said this quote, but they, you know, some people only listen to and believe what they want to hear for the ear tickling. The truth to them is irrelevant. And one of the things I say to people all the time when they come in with me, well, what about this and this and this? Okay, but you're missing this. I say a lie doesn't become the truth because a lie doesn't become truth, and wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by the majority.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there was a reason why the Lord called us sheep. You know? We have a tendency to follow the crowd instead of walking and thinking. And, you know, Paul admonished us in Scripture to research it out, to not take his word, but to research it out for ourselves. And if I can research it out, anybody can.
Absolutely. And I'm hard-pressed to
to challenge our listeners on something else as well. When we're talking about truth, let me put it this way. Let me gather my thoughts here. Truth is not less true just because of the imperfection of the person speaking it. Or let me add this to, well, I've got two thoughts at the same time. First of all, you mentioned the majority. And the truth of the matter is the majority is almost always wrong because the majority are just going with the flow, going with what is comfortable. Isaiah in chapter 5, verse 20 said, "Woe to you who call right wrong and evil good and black white and sweet bitter." I'm thinking of Isaiah 30, verse 9 and 10. They say to the prophets, "Don't speak to us what is right. Speak to us illusion. Speak to us pleasant things, smooth things." The New Testament, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, says there will come a time, which now is, where people will accumulate for themselves teachers who will speak things in accordance with their own desires. And so this is the age of the majority, right? You turn on Christian television and you find preacher after preacher after preacher telling us things not that are true, but things that people want to hear. And then there's one other thing that I wanted to...
Do they realize why they're doing that? Why are they doing that? Why does anybody do that? Do you honestly think in my position and the work I do that it's popular? Because I can assure you it's anything but that. And could there be an easier way if I were just simply to tell people what they wanted to hear so I could sell them a whole lot of products and so forth? Yeah, I know people who do that. I cannot, I will not do that because I genuinely, number one, want to see animals and people well. And
right,
I mean well, mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
But the reason why they, and Pastor Brad, you know this, they do that because they want numbers. And numbers equal often dollars.
Yeah. See, that's what makes me sick, is that 99.9% of the time it's all about money, isn't it, Dr. Kim?
It is in everything I've ever encountered in my life, and this is no different. You know, in
yeah.
politics, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, and we've got everybody in this whole country angry at each other over that. You've got,
yeah.
and that's exactly, you divide, you conquer. It's simple. And yet people will fight over these things and do horrible things like they just did in my city, throwing firecrackers at the horses, the police horses, to injure them. And they're just enlisted creatures, you know. The creature is subject to the man. And has to be, a horse would rather be out grazing, trust me. And yet
right.
they're in this situation by no choice of their own, and that's what they're going after so they can possibly hurt a human. How does those two wrongs make a right? How does that ever happen? And I do realize that we have to speak out against injustice. But if you really read scripture, watch how Jesus did that. He showed us exactly how we're to do it. And we're certainly not to be worried about what other people think about us. Because trust me, if I were to pull all those knives out of my back, oof, I'd be bled out. You know, so
yeah,
it's uncomfortable. But I'd rather be uncomfortable here and be in eternity with my Lord.
Yeah, the Bible says, and this is harsh, but this is, again, why I said at the outset that the single greatest question a person is going to ever ask and answer for themselves, what do you believe about the Bible? Because the Bible confirms what you just said. You cannot please both God and man. You can only have one or the other. You can only have the approval of man or the approval of God. If you seek the approval of man, you will not have the approval of God. And by the same token, if you live for the approval of God, the Bible says, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, that's 2 Timothy 3:12, will be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
You will pay a price for following God, for pursuing truth. This is why Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, because that cross is real, and follow me. You're so right about that, Dr. Kim. The only reason why people...
He said take up a cross. He didn't say, him to pick up, you know, all of your, you know, love and light. He said, pick up your cross. You know, I people forget the cross.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what this program is all about. I want to pause again. I feel led a little prophetically here. There may be some that are listening tonight, and the reality of your rejection of the God of the Bible is because of the imperfect nature of the vessels who have perhaps professed to know God, but as the scripture says, by their deeds they deny him. I know that by definition, there is a tremendous amount of hypocrisy in the professing body of Christ today, and I'm so sorry about that, but I want to give a strong word tonight. The reality is, truth is not less true because of the hypocrisy of those who claim it. People's hypocrisy do not change the reality of the truth of God and his word. And Dr. Kim and I are pleading with you to do the research yourself. The Bible has tremendous promises that apply to you. God says, if you seek me, you will find me, if you search for me with all your heart. If you are passionate about truth, you can find it. If you want to know God, the Bible says he's not a God who is far off. He wants to be found by you. And that's what really this program is all about. Dr. Kim, I have got I've had tremendous spiritual warfare on my end with my devices. So I want to go ahead and close this a little bit early because I've only got about 10% left in my battery, and I want to finish the show without being cut off abruptly. Give us some final thoughts in terms of what's most important to you and what do you want the listener above all else, what would you hope that the listener would take away from tonight's discussion?
First, I have to say that I wouldn't want everybody to think that I think I'm righteous and everybody else is wrong, that I only know that what I know is from my being on my knees in prayer with the Lord and walking with him every day, and I mean literally outside walking with him. And he has shown me and revealed to me. I ask him, show me where I'm, you know, pull up those dregs and the dross, Lord, and expose it so I can release it, confess it, and release it to you. I know what a wretch I am. I sing that, and I don't let anyone hear me because it would be hard for anyone to hear me sing. I sing Amazing Grace to remind myself of who I am and who he is, who God is, and to remember that it's his mercy, it's his grace, it's his righteousness that covers me, that he's still working on me. And my heart is that everybody would seek him, to know him, because that's what this life is all about. It is not about us. It's about him. He wants a relationship. He created us to have a relationship with him and to show us a facet of his character that maybe was never shown before, and that's his mercy. When people say, why would you allow this God, or why this and why that, and how could you be a good God, and how could there be truth? Look at the cross, and that's your answer.
Yeah. I sure appreciate that.
Throw all your stuff down at the cross. And I keep saying to him, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth, and grant me purity of heart that I may honor you. And that's Psalm 86:11. That's what I have to say. If I, you know, I think the only reason that I can care about others is because the Holy Spirit in me, who lives in me, who is greater than who is in this world, is the one who loves you.
Amen to that.
To
so I tell you, I hope our listeners are hearing your heart. You know, when we read in the Bible about the various messengers of God's word, we see very bluntly, sometimes brutal honesty about how imperfect those messengers are. So if you're taking our comments in any other way than as Dr. Kim just shared, understand our passion comes, and I want to get in on this too. My passion is the same as Dr. Kim's, because I know what God has done for me. I know the truth that God's truth can make a man free. And what that is saying is that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl who is in otherwise bondage can be made free. That's why Jesus Christ came, Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And that is the reason we are so zealous for truth, because we want you to experience the very same freedom that God has blessed us. That freedom that empowers Dr. Kim and I to try the best that we can to fulfill Jude 3 when it says to contend earnestly for the faith handed down once for all to all the saints. Because the Bible says, what then? Shall we sin because we are no longer under law but under grace?
Right.
May it never
right.
be. May it never be that you be deceived by these false teachers to think that grace is a license for sin. No, that kind of false teaching will keep you in bondage, which is where the devil wants to keep you.
Exactly.
The power of Jesus Christ is every bit as available to you as it has been to Dr. Kim, as it has been to myself. And Dr. Kim, I am we're not out of time, but I'm out of juice. And so I just want to thank you. It's so much fun. And we talked before, right? We knew that an hour, we're still going to come in at about 45 minutes, but we knew that it was going to fly by. But
yeah.
I thank you so much for the privilege to provide the listener with just a taste of what we talk about. I mean, that's just letting them in on our own private conversations, right?
That's true. It is. And I just hope that everybody does one thing. Look at God and give him the glory. And certainly know that we are still working out our own salvation. And you got to read scripture for that. Isn't that in Ephesians, Pastor Brad?
Amen. It sure is. It sure is. And
thank you for having me.
I
appreciate it.
Oh, my privilege. We'll do it again. We'll do part two for sure. But I'm just going to go ahead and close us in prayer, all right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Again, and I want to remind, let me just go right to prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit tonight about truth. Why? Because of what you've done for us through your truth, the power of it, to make a man, to make a woman free. And Lord, Dr. Kim and I don't profess to have anything of value in and of ourselves. Our hope has been that we would bring to light, bring to bear some of your truth, some of the truth you've revealed to us that has brought such benefit, both to us and through us. And so, Dr. Kim and I, Lord, we agree right now that whatever has been of you in this past hour, that you would watch over that word and perform it, that you would cause the voice of your authority to be realized in our lives and in the lives of our listeners. And Father, whatever has not been of you, we pray that it'll just dissipate, that it'll be like the morning dew that just disappears. But Father, back to what has been of you, because we know your word has been directly from you, we lay claim to your promise when you say, my word, when it goes forth, will not return void without having accomplished the purpose that I set for it to be. Father, on behalf of every listener right now, we pray that your truth will go forward and accomplish the purpose that you set for it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.